folks. My name is Sydney, and welcome to Guilt of Existence, a podcast geared toward finding peace on our dying planet. Backyard beekeeping is something that's continuing to grow in popularity, and I myself have been considering buying a bee suit and hopping on the honeybee bandwagon. Honeybees are pollinators, super cute, and make honey, duh. So by starting my own apiary, I'd be helping out these lovely critters, and I'd get a delicious sweetener. What's not to love? It seems like such a good move for the environment. But as I learned more, it turns out that's not totally true. Today, we are going to be talking about the ugly side of honeybees, and we're also going to shed some light on some other pollinators that don't get the recognition they deserve. I'm also going to give you a few ways that you can help out our native bees, so let's dive in. Let's start with why honeybees have become the poster child of the pollinator world. Honeybees are able to pollinate a lot of different flowering plants, including many of the fruits and vegetables that we eat. They're also able to be transported, which is very important for big agriculture, but is also why more and more of your neighbors might have bee boxes in their yard. The Save the Bees movement also influenced people to have more of an interest in honeybees, even though they are nowhere near a risk of becoming endangered or extinct. In fact, something that came as a shock to me is that honeybees aren't even native to North America. According to an article by USGS, they were originally imported from Europe in the 17th century. So these guys aren't even supposed to be here. Maybe I'm just late to the party on this one, but I really genuinely had no idea. The guys who are really in trouble are our native bees. So why are honeybee populations the highest they've ever been? Meanwhile, our native bee populations are falling fast. In an article by the National Wildlife Federation, Jim Kane, who's a retired federal biologist who heads the nonprofit Wild Beecology, states that honeybees dominate floral resources and suppress native bee numbers. While it's possible for honeybees and native bees to cohabitate, honeybees often displace these native bees entirely. Additionally, honeybees can also carry parasites and diseases like the deformed wing virus that can affect our natives. Let's think about this even further, though. Honeybees provide humans with a service, pollinating our food and, of course, honey. And because they are providing a service that we as humans need and enjoy, humans will work harder to protect them. There are many, many advocates out there for the species, and that's fine. I'm not saying that we aren't very dependent on them at this point, but these other species, our native species, need advocated for just as much, if not more. The honeybees have held the spotlight for far too long, so we're going to talk about just a few native bees and why they are absolute rock stars. We are starting strong here. Charismatic, adorable, and fuzzy. Give it up for the bumblebee.
Oh, yeah.
According to the Department of Agriculture and the U.S. Forest Service, these guys pollinate many wildflowers, which may be something a lot of us take for granted. The wildflowers that are just out there naturally when we're out walking around or driving around bring such a natural beauty to our environment without the involvement of humans. Without critters like the American bumblebee, we wouldn't be able to enjoy these lovely plant species. So as we continue into spring and as all of the wonderful vegetation is coming to life, I encourage you to take a moment and notice the wildflowers that are popping up, and then thank a bumblebee. Our next rock star is the heavyweight champion of the North American native bee world. I'm talking about the solitary, blue-collar, strong-jawed carpenter bee. These guys are known for chewing through wood, which can sometimes get them a bad rap, but they're also excellent pollinators of eggplants, tomatoes, and other vegetables and flowers. I learned that these guys don't form colonies like some other bees, which I think when a lot of us maybe think of bees, or maybe I'm just talking for myself, I don't know. I just kind of assume that, okay, yep, they are all going to form colonies and, you know, have this little group of them going on, but that's actually not the case for a lot of bees. So that was kind of interesting. Also, I was very impressed that they can have a lifespan of up to 3 years, which is incredible to me because usually when we think of insects, I feel like we don't usually think of them living very long. So 3 years is very impressive, assuming these guys are given the chance to have a full life. The initials of our next native species spells out B-O-M-B because they're the bomb.com. High praise for the beautiful blue orchard mason bee. These guys are known for their efficiency in pollinating fruit trees, especially apples, plums, pears, and peaches. I associate the blue orchard mason bee with baking pies. So if you like pies, thank them. I don't know. Associate them with whatever, as long as they get some love. Leaf-cutting bees are actually a relative of the blue orchard mason bee, and speaking of baking, I can't think of a stronger hook than this direct quote from USDA's website. She kneads the mixture into a bee loaf. That's right, homegirl is a baker! Leaf-cutting bees basically mix pollen, nectar, and their saliva to create this bee loaf to feed their babies, and I just think that's so cool! Okay, so that is just a very small amount of North America's wonderful native bees, but I wanted to take a moment to give a shout out to wasps because they're also pollinators. They get a really bad rap, but do a lot of important things for our environment, like eating dead stuff. And as I said, pollination. They might not be as efficient of pollinators as, you know, some of the other bees that we've kind of talked about, but at the end of the day, they still contribute to that process. So if you see them, don't get all up in their grill, swatting at them, or being noisy. Just give them some space, and I'm telling you should be fine. I know everyone has a traumatizing wasp story. I know, myself included, but my dude, you gotta let that crap go. That wasp that stung you when you were playing on a poorly maintained playground when you were like 7 has been dead for a long time. It could have been a you smack needle, but here you are holding a grudge against an insect who's long dead that you probably ticked off in the first place. Let it go. You know, it's funny to me because I know people whose boyfriends have cheated on them several times, but they stay with them because he's changed. Meanwhile, a wasp stings them once and they're like, immediate death to all winged insects, no exceptions. Homegirl, which is it? Pick a lane. All right, I guess the message that I want to send here is you don't have to love them, but please don't just kill them unnecessarily. They certainly have their purpose. So, okay, anyways, that's the end of my soapbox on wasp. Moving on, now that I've ticked everybody off here, let's talk about some things that we can do to help our wonderful native bees. Here are some recommendations from the National Wildlife Federation. They say that the most important thing to do is to grow a diversity of flowering native plants that bloom throughout all seasons. Also, you're going to want to be conscious of what bees you may want to attract and be sure to include plants that species may prefer. The Federation also says that for nesting sites, leave some bare patches of soil and if it's safe, fallen logs or dead trees. That's going to especially cater to our carpenter bees and the bees of that sort. You should also let the plant stems stand throughout winter. And a big one is to never use pesticides. If you do decide to plant a pollinator garden, you can also include within that some alternative bee housing specifically for our natives. Some of them are actually pretty aesthetically pleasing as well, at least I thought. So look into it. I don't know. It's something to do. So now the last actionable item I encourage you to try is using real maple syrup instead of honey. Now, don't get me wrong, honey is delicious, but so is maple syrup, and sugar maple trees are actually native to North America, so consider a swap once in a while. All right, folks, that is it for this episode on bees. Sorry to all the wasp haters that I may have offended. Until next time.